Let's go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Bingetown TV. We are back with episodes 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of season 1 of Arcane. We're done. We finished it. Me, Dave, Jimmy, and Luke are all on the same page, and we're going to just rip through these last episodes and the season as a whole, talk about everything we loved, and if anyone has something they didn't like, they can also say that. But here's my first thing. Blanket statement, adored it.
Nice.
Next. For some reason in my brain, I thought this was a standalone series, but it's not. Season 2 is already confirmed.
Yeah. Season 2 has always been confirmed. The question is, originally, they're going to completely jump to a different point of view in the world at the around the same timeline to build up completely new characters, with the events of Arcane Season 1 potentially just being subtle things in the background.
Like, we would have never seen the direct aftermath of what happened from the explosion. It would have been, we would have been like on the other side of the world, and they would have been talking about it in a newspaper or something, like, oh, this is what happened, versus then us just seeing what happens.
But would they have eventually gotten back in like season 10, the characters mix up?
So that's the question, because it became so insanely popular and well received that I think the writers could be swayed to continuing the storyline. But the issue is that they're basically at the level that they are in the video game now. Like, they all have their weapons, they have their abilities, they have their personality traits of like of Vi and Jinx kind of having like voice lines against each other, which makes sense now a little bit. So we're already at the point where we're at the video game. Is it the public pressure enough to push them to keep going with these loved characters, or are we just going to drop them and trust the creators to go into the backstory and origins of completely different characters? Like, nobody really knows, and there's nothing confirmed yet. But the one working theory I heard was, so Mel, Counselor Mel's mom, Mardara, something like that?
Medarda.
Medarda, yes. She talks about her home country that Mel's from. It's called Noxus. There's a thought that maybe season 2 completely takes place in Noxus. And we'll hear about Jinx and Jinx and Vi's impact through just like her. Like, she could be a bridge character. Something along those lines.
Like,
no,
my
one
daughter,
really knows,
like,
yet, though.
Potentially her just opening scene, just her crying that her daughter just got fucking blown to smithereens.
So, yeah, I guess my thing is, because I knew that, so I misspoke. I knew it was supposed to be anthology. I thought it would wrap up in a more satisfying way.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Not that it wasn't satisfying, because I'm like, fucking give me season 2 right now of these same characters, though. Mm-hmm. I swore we were just going to have like Vi and Jinx hugging and Caitlyn and Vi smooching, and I'm like, what's going on? Give me it. What's
so on that prediction? I remember you talking about that on the last podcast episode. Like, I can't wait for everyone to just be like hugging at the end, and I'm like, yep, no.
So before we go that, let's get Jimmy's initial.
Yeah, Jimmy.
Yeah, so I guess it's really, really good that I don't know anything about the video game. So if you know the video games, you know the ending pretty much has to be Jinx and Vi don't get along, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad I didn't know that. Let me just preface everything saying I freaking loved it as well. Phenomenal 9 episodes of television. I will say that I got to the final episode and I was like, how the hell are they going to wrap this up? You know, it felt like every single thread was wide open.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going the way where I said when we were doing predictions, like, hey, maybe like they're against each other in the video game, so maybe they will be enemies at the end. But I did go with my final prediction was I believe that they are going to end up back together.
Yeah.
So I was
I'm
like,
going to go over some of that stuff too.
Yeah. So as it's going on, I'm like, how is this going to wrap up where they're together? And then it was like, how is this going to have any kind of ending with like Jace's storyline where they're telling him make a decision and we have to fight Silco and all this stuff? And I was like, holy shit, I just can't figure out. I actually went on to Google and I said, how many episodes are in Arcane season 1? Because I was about to text you guys and be like, guys, I need another 45 minutes. I thought it was 9 episodes and it was 10.
Mm-hmm.
But
same.
The way that it wraps up is awesome. I might have a hot take that we'll get to, but I do love that that's how, like, the animation, the cinematography for the ending where she just brings up the freaking shark bazooka and lets it rip, especially because it's like her own made gun, like, you know, everything else has been for the whole 9 episodes. Amazing. But yeah, let's just get into it. Let's start talking, and then I'm gonna get into more stuff.
Yep, for sure. Do you want to say anything before I rehash their predictions, Dave?
No, just that rewatching this has been such a fucking joy. Like, I loved it my first watch through, but I didn't even think it was possible that I would love it even more. But the second watch through, I was texting the chat. Like, I think Kathleen and Jimmy hadn't quite watched yet, but I was just sitting there just by myself. Like, I love these episodes. I just want to keep texting. I just like spamming the chat. It's such a phenomenal show.
Oh, wait, let me just jump into, I need to say this really quick. Echo, little man, let's go.
Yes. Yes.
That was
and Hummer
first...
Dinger's the homie, dude.
Yep.
Yeah. That was going to be my first thing to bring up, but I'll let Luke.
I'm going to bring up the predictions, but that is my favorite thing that you guys like didn't even think to guess.
Yeah.
Like how little man played into the time skip or even if the Firelight's leader
mattered.
Exactly.
Yeah. My whole thing in my head, I remember asking you guys and telling you guys, like, we didn't even see Echo yet. We haven't seen Little Man because that was the time jump, but they just didn't show him. And I remember thinking in my own head, and I don't know if I said it out loud, that these Firelights are probably just like some like side bad guys that we need to take care of and not matter. Mm-hmm. So the fact that, you know, he unmasks and it's Little Man, I was like, sweet, baby, let's go.
The boy savior, man. All right, we'll talk about that in a second, but I just want to bring up these predictions and then this could maybe guide some of our early conversation. Because one thing I was very interested in was seeing if either of you guys were going to pick up on a prediction of any of the romances. And how it ended up shaking out was Jimmy thought it was going to end up being Jace and Kate. Caitlin. And then Kathleen, her initial prediction was Mel and Jace, which was point for her. And then in parentheses, Caitlin and Jace are endgame. But I'm sure you're both completely happy with the vibes they started to shift it towards, right?
So let me be clear. I think if I would have gotten like 10 more seconds of adult Vi, I would have been like, she's a lesbian.
Yep.
Yeah,
queer vibes. I love it. It would have been like I would have guessed that, but I can't believe I didn't guess that. At least I guessed a single queer thing with Victor, which we can get into him because that was sad. That was really sad. Victor and Jace, but that was amazing. And it's funny because one of my other predictions from the last episode was like, I feel like I'm really gonna like Kate. And you know I do. Yeah. You know I do.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was super excited for you to get that reveal because you don't get enough of Caitlin pre-time skip and you don't get too much of her last time we talked because she was only that small bit of plot. But her storyline's great. She ends up having phenomenal character growth, like in terms of just how she viewed top side versus underside. So that was good to see. I just want to leave that aside. Last prediction thing, then we could just open it up to whatever. Final prediction for Vi and Jinx and what would end up happening. Kathleen says that they were going to just completely have a reconciliation with zero deaths. Like it was just going to be a clean get back together, girl power kind of thing. Jimmy had Jinx beating the shit out of Vi, but then before she ends it, she comes to her senses and they end up getting back together as sisters. So when you guys were saying that, me and Dave were just like side-eyeing each other, like, hell yeah. They finally, especially for Jimmy. Jimmy always nails these kind of endgame things like so early. I was so excited that you guys didn't see this coming.
We also set them up a little bit for failure by not, like, I guess, being totally clear on how the ending was supposed to be. Like, so we kind of screwed you guys in that department, but I was finally you guys not nailing a prediction like, oh, Vander's gonna die, Milo and Glagg are on the chopping block, and all these other predictions that were pissing me off because they were on the money. I was glad to see I got a couple wrong here.
And it was very meta of them that they picked this song purposely by Imagine Dragons, right? Like, everybody wants to be my enemy. This is like the complete mindset of Jinx after she starts going crazy and stuff. And it was like kind of right there. And then also the title sequence itself ends with Jinx and Vi like squaring up, like aiming their weapons at each other. And I was just hoping that you guys were kind of like skipping it after you saw it once, didn't really kind of put it together. And because they do give it away right there. And I actually don't love that they do that, but in hindsight and watching it again, it's amazing.
Like, it shouldn't come, like, the intro shouldn't be a thing until maybe like episode 5.
Yeah, after the times. Yeah.
Where would I there's so many places that we can start with. I'll start with like the Echo thing because I just want to cover, I guess, a majority of what he was doing. Like, he has the amazing clash with Jinx on the bridge, which me and Luke absolutely fucking love. Like, that fight between those two, the fact that it's flashing back and forth between young and present.
That's amazing.
And it's just so well done. And Echo is just, you can see how much he's grown. Like, he's definitely been affected by a lot of people have been, but he definitely chose to grow up at a like an absurd rate quicker than like other people, I would say. Like, he grew, what is the place with They're in, like, Heimerdinger is now in with
just,
the
it's
tree.
Called the, I just called it the Firelight
Hideout.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, the fact that he was able to start that at whatever age he was and just grew it to be an actual place where people could just live freely. Echo, to me, I'm sure Jimmy is the same for you. Like, he is just definitely a top character for me, without a doubt.
Oh, yeah. Echo is the man. I'm glad that we got more information. Obviously, I knew we were going to see something that about him and what came of him after he was after the time jump. But the fact that we didn't see it after the initial time jump episode, I was like, the Firelight reveal, loved it. You know, the fact that he just is pure good, loved it. You know, there's different ways that people can be affected. Obviously, we see Jinx going one way. We have Vi, who went into jail, and she would have been 100% on Echo's side. She would have been with the Firelights, I would assume, if she was okay and not in prison. But seeing him just purely go, you know, good and using his powers, quote unquote, for good, the good of everybody, and trying to fix everything for the downsiders, undersiders,
yeah,
downlowers,
down
the lanes.
Yeah,
yeah. But I mean, his hair is badass.
Yeah.
He's got some guns on him. He's shredded up, dude. He's doing it for me.
I love the reveal in that moment when it's him and Vi. They're talking and they're both very mad at each other, because obviously for Echo, like, Vi disappeared out of nowhere. She was presumed to be dead for so long. And for Vi, you know, Echo, I guess, maybe wasn't fully there for Jinx either, or Powder at the time. And so there was a little bit of tension. But as soon as Vi undoes the shackles and just, like, walks up and just hugs him and he starts to cry, I'm like, I'm going to fucking cry. Like, this is so beautiful. Like, I'm so glad they were able to just squash that beef right away rather than just, like, staying enemies for, like, a couple episodes, and that they were able to just go at it together.
You know, I guess maybe I do have a little bit of a thumbs down maybe for Echo. I don't know. Is it his fault? Like, not his fault, but is he at fault for not doing anything to try to help Jinx when Vi was gone? Because maybe that is a little bit on him.
Okay, so this was going to be exactly my point. So first of all, I just want to say Scotty from The Wilds, season 2, one of the boys on the island, is the voice of Echo, which I just want to say that because Jimmy's the only one who that will matter to on this pod, at least. But anyway, so I liked all the Echo stuff for many reasons, and Echo is cool himself. But I was actually going to say the Echo stuff really just shows you that Jinx is so far gone that even this, like, the sight of an old friend does not even do anything to her. Vi's the only one who could slightly get her out of it a little bit. But I think my hottest take of the series is that, and maybe it's not a hot take, but it's not that I don't like Jinx, because I love her on screen. She's incredible. And like, good on Arcane for not just being like, oh, they get back together, it's a sweet story. But, like, Jinx is, like, actually a terrible villain. Like, terrible in, like, she's an amazing
she's
villain.
Bad.
I mean, terrible.
Yeah.
She's a terrible person. Yep. Like, she really is. And the trajectory of all that happened and happening, killing Vander, Milo, Clagger, and all that stuff, it really was just, she must have been on a fine line to begin with. Like, she was our sweet Powder. She fucks up a lot of things. She's a little neurotic as a kid. But, like, all that happened was the switch she needed to just absolutely fall into this neuroses, madness, like, crazy. That she's a crazy character. And so I was kind of rooting against her. I thought I would always kind of be on her side still a little bit, but I wasn't. And that's my hot take.
We'll keep talking about Jinx a lot more later, but I do want to comment on something you specifically said there. I totally agree that she was unhinged before the whole Vander situation happened, because when she's talking with Silco, when he kind of hugs her for the first time pre-time skip, like the end of episode 3, she's already, like, talking crazy to herself. So you're totally right. And that was a good spot, because eventually she was going to break. But I'm sure if Vi was there the whole time, it would have been tamed and fine. But Jimmy, I want to say real quick about the Echo thing, that you were saying, like, the whole gripe about, like, maybe he could have done more for her. But literally the last time we see her as a kid, she's already directly with Silco. And then she's never not with Silco from then on out. So it's kind of tough to assume that,
yeah,
that,
I mean,
Echo would have even had a chance. But
it would literally have to be that Echo would have to, like, rally the troops to try to break her out. Like, that's, like, and that's a lot. That's a tall order for
as
him.
An 8-year-old,
I understand.
Too.
Yeah,
I understand. I'm putting my finger up here, Kathleen, because I said 10 minutes ago, I have a hot take, and it's the same hot take as you. 100% the same. And we will talk about this as it gets to, towards us talking about the finale and the final scenes. But there's a big difference in my eyes between, like, you're a freaking badass, cool character, and I like you.
Yep.
You know, like, yep. Harley Quinn, like, you know, I mean, Jinx is a freak, is awesome. You know, seeing her, and we've talked about the animation and all this stuff, how amazing it is throughout the episodes, but my theories or whatever totally changed as soon as she took Shimmer. As soon as she took Shimmer, I was like, she's not going back to the good side. Mm. And the animation of showing her pink eye in the background behind Silco in the one scene in the shadow, I was like, this is full villain. And I go, I love you, but I don't like you because you're kind of annoying. You know, it's one of those kind of things. Yeah. So we'll talk about it more. But Kathleen, it's hot, I think, in general, but I agree.
A scene I loved with Jinx is the one where she goes back to, like, the old haunts, you know, where they all used to hang out, Milo Klager, and it's like the punching machine thing. But the scene within that scene when she kills the bird, it looks like she's gonna, like, spare the bird, and then it's just like, I'm like, God damn it, she is a wild woman. It made me laugh. I think I, like, cackled out loud. I was like, this fucking bitch. I love her, but like, it's crazy.
Is there anybody more entertaining on screen than her?
Yeah, well, that's a thing. Yeah.
That's her title, is the entertaining one. Like, she's just so fun to watch, and just this format and this animation style fits her the best out of everybody. And honestly, you might even be able to argue Echo might be second because of how that fight on the bridge turned out. But it's just so well done with just how they use it to basically just emphasize these crazy personality traits of her. And it's all just like subtle flashing things that I'm sure if you watch the show four times and were to look at it like frame by frame, you'll pick up something new every freaking second.
Mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm. And I love how she got second place still to Vi.
Yeah. They do all those little things so well, like the subtlety of what that means. It's so well done.
Totally. Speaking of Vi, can I laugh at my notes? Because a little higher up in the notes, my note says, "What's with the Roman numeral 6 on her face?" And then a few down goes, "Oh, it says Vi." I was laughing at myself. I was like, "Wait, what does that mean?" And then I'm like, "Is that just mean Vi?" It's so funny. Is that what it means?
I think so. I don't think there's any.
Okay.
I think it's just a cool tattoo that it just looks good. Yeah, it just looks good, but it also just is a symbol of her name as well.
So let's take this home with Echo. We can close it out because I know everything is connected to either Jinx or Vi, but I just want to kind of just anything else that we can focus on with Echo just to finish that conversation. Last thing I'll say about the bridge scene, though, I was waiting for this episode since we started the pilot. Like, I knew I was going to end up rewatching the show, and I knew I was going to get to this moment just because the episode itself starts out, it's going to be about him, where it's like a completely different music style, and just like even the animation vibes are a little bit different in favor of just like that's his motif, I guess, in the show. But when he sits there and like faces off against Jinx and like drops his little time device, and it's just like the ticking, the
music that starts.
Oh my God, dude. I feel like my hairs are standing up my arm right now. And it's just him just like getting ready, and they're doing it in combination with Jinx, like prepping herself, standing to the side with the gun and flashing between Powder and him. And then it just does the whole badass music scene. And then it just like that little time machine. I'm sure, I don't know much about League of Legends, but that's probably like one of his abilities that you can use to kind of like zip back a little bit. But all of that was just fucking epic. And even though he was a beast, like Jinx had to kind of get the better of him with the bomb and stuff, because
I thought that was his scene. I thought that was his death scene.
It's close.
Like,
I mean, he actually only came out of it with like a broken ankle or whatever. I mean, she was half dead. Mm-hmm. But
even my second time watching it, I hear that Echo, I guess, is like a master of time in the game. So like has some sort of like time travel or something along those lines. And like even when we first get introduced to him in like episode 2 or 3, he's working on a clock. That was something small that I couldn't bring up in the time, but I can now.
Right.
But honestly, if he has some sort of time traveling ability, to me, my second watch through, I took it as like he did eat that bullet. Like she probably got him, but he hit the rewind on time and then was able to avoid the final bullet of him getting shot, because like what is it, it's a flashback of him and her being kids and she's like laughing because she gets him right in the stomach. Even my first time watching, I was like, oh my God, did Echo just die?
That's totally how I took it.
He escaped that twice in like 10 minutes and I'm loving it. But I honestly did think he was dead. I thought that was his death scene, and I was like, wow, like he was so cool. We got a nice episode of them, and that's it? Wow, damn.
Turns into the meeting that nobody saw coming of Hummerdinger coming out of here.
Hummerdinger, baby.
And him getting the complete perspective switch, which it seems like all of our topsider characters eventually got by the end of the show, besides the council members. That's not including Jace. So that was cool because he really had no idea what was going on down there and thought he did, like with all those centuries of living, and was just shocked at the resiliency of some of the undersiders. So that was like a good moment for him to be like, okay, this is the side I need to be working for, using my genius for. And I'm sure if there was a season two, he would be like full on just in the firelights, basically.
Yeah. He's the man, especially when that little girl comes up to him, hands him like all the nuts and bolts, mm-hmm. and he just like does that magic trick and it becomes a little gear. I'm like, you are so cute, Hummerdinger. Like, come on. We all need a little Hummerdinger action in our life.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And his pet. His pet made another appearance.
And he was scared.
His pet was livid when Victor and Jace were talking back to him.
Oh, yeah. So do we want to take it there next?
Yeah. Jimmy's saying his name. I just want to take this because Victor, to me, I always loved Victor, and I love seeing him, like the ending that he got, even though it was totally depressing and everything. But I'm just glad he wasn't full evil, because we had talked about it on the last podcast that he does seem like he could do something drastic that would cause him to go evil, or does have tendencies that might make him seem a little more bad than maybe Jace. I'm glad that in the end that he's still considered a good guy, even though the incident that happens. But for me, Victor also is another phenomenal character, just that he's persevering through everything. Even though he's a little stubborn at points, he knows what needs to get done.
They didn't introduce that like woman assistant until these episodes, right? This was her first.
I guess this grouping of episodes, but she was in multiple.
Right. And she was so cute. Like her last moments, her pumping herself up to present to someone she obviously is inspired by, but probably has a crush on as well. And then he just incinerates her by accident.
She saves him, man. Well, she's trying to save him. She didn't actually save him, but
brutal.
I think she saves him in the sense that afterwards he now realizes that what he's working with is, like, he should have taken Hummerdinger's word from the get-go. He realizes that, but that was so, I felt so bad for Victor. Like, he's already had a terrible life as is, and now you're going to just throw on that one, he's trying to help people and himself a little bit, and he's willing to put his life on the line, and then this person who he, like, it wasn't even really his fault. Like, it was just coincidence that she was just coming into the office at the same time.
Yep.
And then just gets completely incinerated. That was, it was so sad to see for Victor. And then just right after it, when the parallels of him about to jump off the, like, his spot, and then Jace comes in and he's like, oh, am I interrupting something? It's just like, it's so nice. Those two are just meant to be like boys forever.
Yeah, they're homies. And cute. Kathleen wants them to kiss, dude.
I do.
If the relationship between Jace and Mel didn't happen and that was never on screen, then I would say, like, yeah, they could have loved each other, the two of them.
I completely, until this very moment, forgot about the sex scene and how I was like, my note also says, this is my first animated makeout with tongue.
That was graphic, and we saw Mel's mom's side boob. There's a lot of skin going on in this episode, or these four episodes. For Victor, I said in my theory that I could see him doing drastic things and becoming evil.
Yeah,
and I said I didn't want that to happen, so I'm glad it did.
He ended up
going pretty drastic. I got a little confused of what was happening to him, like it fixed his leg and then it fixed his hand, but then what would, if it would have taken over his whole body, then he would have been fully cured and he would have been like, I was thinking, it is it gonna make him like a monster? For a second I thought that it took over him when it went through, like it did that thing where it like flashed over his eyes and then he fell, and I was like, wait, so is this thing taking over his body? I was a little confused with the whole scenario.
I was going for like the shimmer where those side effects, like, even my second time watching it, still a little confusing, but I think for the time being, at first it works, obviously, because he's able to run, walk, but the effects weren't like permanent. And at the same time, because there's shimmer involved, that it's again an addiction. So I think he was willing to like chase that high, if not maybe a stronger high. for the Shimmer, and that's kind of where what led him to start grabbing the actual like hex core thing and then cause that whole thing. But I think Shimmer is the one to blame for like those that tendencies there.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. If he would have had to keep taking it, or what he was trying to do there was like mix with it and make it be permanent, but I just don't think it worked out. And this is a case of where it sucks that we don't really have League of Legends knowledge, but I'm pretty sure Victor's a playable character, and I'm pretty sure he does have abilities related to the hex core like that. Okay. So that was just kind of more of a flash at what he maybe eventually becomes. I don't really know.
I'm looking it up right now. His nickname is the Machine Herald Victor. And I'm going to be honest, he does not look like a good guy. I'm going to be honest, he looks very evil, but yeah. I guess we'll only find out.
Does he look sickly in the game?
No, he looks like a beast, actually. He looks like
he's all hex cored up.
Yeah, he's got this sweet armor, like a third hand. Oh my God.
So okay. We're going to talk about Jace in a second, too. And we could talk about the finale and the ending scenes. But does that mean that Jace is just not in the game?
No, he is. He totally is.
But he's...
Well, we don't know.
We don't know if he's alive or dead.
Right. And it's actually amazing because you got to see the weapon he uses, I think. I'm pretty sure he uses that big hammer. And like they showcase some of his abilities like that. But that's why I was trying to kind of say earlier, maybe it was even our pilot, like some of these characters can die, but they'll still be in the game. Like, I don't really know what they consider canon or how much they care about preserving someone that's dead or not. So take it with a grain of salt. Okay. Yeah.
The Defender of Tomorrow is Jace's nickname in the video games. I'm just like pulling up all these names. Dude,
he's the Defender, man.
So he's
like
pure good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's how I took it.
Jason Diaz, you know what I'm saying?
Were you seeing it the second time?
Yeah, I could see it. I could see it.
Totally.
Yeah. Last thing I want to say about Victor is the backstory introduced an important character that I'm going to bring up later. It's that mad scientist that actually turned Jinx into evil Jinx, I'll say.
He was also part of the founder of Ship. Like, we saw him in episodes 1 to 3.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he was there. Right. He didn't have the mask.
So I can put a pin in that. Let's talk about Mel now, and that'll kind of naturally lead us to talking more about Jace, but Mel is someone I'm very curious at your guys' take, because I'll just let you guys talk just what you thought going into these episodes and what you thought coming out. Because I had a weird experience my first time with Mel as a character.
Weird experience in what way? Like with her and her mom and the backstory?
I just thought she was the sketchiest person all the way up until the finale when I realized it was just misleading sketchy.
Yeah,
she was a good character the whole time.
It was like the same thing for Victor, like misleading sketchy. I think they were both, to me, potential for villains, and then they just weren't in the end.
I think for Mel, me and Kathleen said that it would be bad for Jace if they become a relationship because she's manipulating him. And I took it like I really do think she was doing that for a little bit. And then she falls in love with him, and then she starts to believe in him. And the goodness of Jace just takes over her, and she, you know, decides to see the light. And I mean, it seems almost like when she sees her mom, you know, they're having that little conflict. And then obviously right in the last scene, she takes her ring off knowing that she's not going to join her mom. She's going to join Jace, and she's going to make the decision to back Jace for peace. And but I honestly think that if it would have been an episode before, or maybe 2 episodes before, she would have been like, no, because you could. There's a scene where she's talking to her assistant, and the assistant's like, he seems to be like a good asset that you secured. Like, not like, hey, you have a crush on him, right? Like, you love him, right? No, it's like he's an asset and you're taking advantage of him. Like, I think that she was one thing and she kind of changed at the end. And I was surprised. Like, that confusingness that you're talking about, Luke, I had the same feeling as well.
I agree with everything that Jimmy said. I think it started off as like an opportunity. Mm-hmm. She is an opportunist. And I think I said in the last episode, she's bored. Like, it seems like she wanted to, like, spice up her life a little bit, and Jace was bringing all this, like, hot new tech. Mm-hmm. But I, in general, I liked the backstory with her mom, like, brutal, brutal mom, just being like, I had to exile you. You were making me feel bad. You're making me feel too much.
Yeah.
Some people
shouldn't
have kids.
You're making me a good person.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't really have much to add on Medarda. I loved the sex scene. I liked her in general. I don't have any quarrels with her, and I'm glad she didn't end up being a bad, like a villain. I feel like all the villains were pretty straightforward, right? Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say Firelights are villains at all. I would say, like, they maybe seemed menacing for a second, but the reason I never guessed that Little Man could have been in that, well, I guess that's not why I didn't guess it, but I still thought it was Vi up until we we're podcasting. I still thought that pink hair person was Vi. So I was like, oh, it's just Vi. So I wasn't thinking, oh, who's the leader? Because I was like, the leader is Vi. But anyway, yeah. So obviously Silco and Jinx. So yeah, Medardo's cool.
Mel.
I don't really have much time.
Medardo's the mom.
Oh, so, sorry. What is that, the last name?
I thought that was the last name. Yeah,
yeah, the last name. Miss Medardo, and they both look.
Yeah. Yeah, they never got the, I don't think we ever got the first name of the mom, so they just called her.
I thought it was Mother.
Yeah, Mother Medardo. Yeah.
that opening scene for episode 8, though, I thought was like very much needed for me to be able to appreciate Mel as a character when you saw her as a kid in the throne room, and then you later find out that her brother's dead and this person is trying to basically end the line, and that leads itself to very open plot lines that are interesting for season 2 that we might not get, we might get, who knows.
That was something that for me on my second time watching, it was like, okay, we are definitely... Yeah. From what I heard from what you were saying prior, like on the podcast and everything, I'm like, okay, we are definitely going to Noxus next season with the brother. Like, I think the brother could be the villain of next season if they choose to go there.
The brother's dead. Or sorry, the brother's killed.
The person who killed the brother. Correct. And I feel like we could talk about this later as well, but I feel like there's going to be a lot of disappointed people if there's no Vi or Jinx or Little Man or Hummerdinger or any of these people.
I would,
if you just go to another world and make it an anthology series. I mean, I'm not saying it won't be bad, because they blew my freaking, you know, they blew my expectations out of the water, and I don't even know what my expectations were because they were already pretty freaking high. So I would trust that it would be a good show, but I would be a little hurt that I don't get to see my girls.
And I'm not going to defend that. Like, I'm with you. We now have the same information. Like, I want season 2 of Jinx and Vi, like more of that, especially now, because I'm like even more attached to these characters, and I'm really attached to, like, this time around. Like, I appreciated the topside stuff more. I feel like I like those characters more. It was easy to like Vi, and it was easy to like Jinx.
Sure.
But like, now I care more about the subtle things I was picking up the second time around. It's like, damn, I want to go to Noxus with these characters, and I want to find out how Jace changes the world, because that's what he's going to do.
All I know is I'm Vi or die any day of the week.
Vi or die.
I fucking love her. Yeah.
It's interesting you say that, Luke, because I feel like if upon a rewatch, I too would be more interested in the topsider, because in general, storyline wise, give me Vi or Jinx every day. Give me Silco. Give me the dirty on the ground floor getting dirty storylines, fighting, all that stuff. All the fight scenes were absolutely incredible. But the topsider stuff I obviously liked, but it just wasn't as interesting to me, like all the politics and shit like that.
Right.
But on a rewatch, I would be more interested, just because I wouldn't be dying for more Vi and Jinx at all times, I think.
I think we could put a pin in those characters, and we can now, do we want to go right into Jace? Do we want to talk about Caitlyn? We can go into Silco, Jinx, or Vi. What do you guys want to talk about next? So I feel like those are our main characters that we have to cover.
Caitlyn, because I feel like she's quick, and we'll save the bigger stuff towards the end. But
the adventures of Caitlyn and Vi.
Yeah, and the big quote for me that I loved but also hate is when Vi and her are like in the argument, and like Vi walks away and it's like oil and water, like the name of the episode.
Yeah.
I was like, that's such a hot line. Like, fuck, it's not hot, because you're basically rejecting Caitlyn here, and it's like, God, you guys need to be together. You guys are great together. They do the whole lanes trip together, and they fuck up Silco a little bit. Like, too, in the beginning, when we first see Kieran after, or Caitlyn after the time skip, she's in the or maybe not the first time, but at least in episode 5, she's doing the shooting competition with the boss.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Either way, she's a fucking badass at the end of the day. That's all I'm trying to say, is that she's a fucking badass.
She sure love is. Caitlyn. Yeah. I thought you were gonna say, when you said my favorite line, when they're in, like, I don't know what to call that, the little like sex house they were in or whatever.
It was a brothel, pretty
like
much.
A brothel. Yeah. I knew this is not what you're gonna say, but it made me laugh and I wrote it down. And Vi makes her pretend or whatever, and Caitlyn's like, my parents named me Matilda, in this like crazy accent, and she just goes with it. It like made me laugh out loud, like, yes, go
ahead. Caitlyn, really quick, once we get into the brothel and she says, like, the what do you prefer, guys or girl, or you know what I mean? So that's
it.
when I'm first like, oh, these two. And right after that is also when she says cupcake.
Oh,
and I was immediately, that was doing it for me, but I was immediately getting Poppins from Haunting of Bly Manor.
Fuck yeah. Poppins.
And that was just like, it was cracking me up. So I was getting that parallel so
Jimmy,
easily.
Perfect. Well,
I love when Vi and they're in the brothel. She like pins her against the wall. She's like, it's your looks. It's your looks, baby. Like, yeah. You got something to bring. And she's like, I got nothing.
Hot.
Yeah. Incredible. That's when the sexual tension was just at its peak right there. That's when you knew.
So let's talk about how immediately Jinx was so put off by Vi being with her. And obviously, to me, it was just because it was an enforcer, right? Like, just because she was mm-hmm, with an enforcer mm-hmm. and she thinks everyone's after her, right? It's not specifically that it's Caitlin.
I took it a little bit as enforcer. I think it's also more like Powder or Jinx at this point is clearly unstable in her mind with being around Soko so much. And she was hoping that Vi maybe would have saved her a couple of years ago, if anything. And now she sees her, and now she's with a new, coincidentally, blue haired girl that, you know, is to her, it seems like it's getting replaced, and that hurts her the most. And that was what I was trying to, like, I think, bring up a little bit earlier when we were kind of talking a lot about the Jinx stuff. Is I think it's just that she was so offended that Vi wasn't prioritizing rescuing her as she much was just trying to replace her in mm-hmm. her eyes. But that's not the case at all, obviously. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She sets off the Harley Quinn in her so much, like every single time she's around her. And one of my favorite instances of it is actually at the bridge where Little Man Shines in that fight, because I think before the face off happens, Jinx looks over and see, and like the animation of it is like it drew like an evil, like smirking mm-hmm, face over mm-hmm. it. And that just sticks out at me for some reason, because like she is really hearing and seeing these things to make her be this unhinged. And the fact that it's always Caitlin that sets it off is crazy, because she's a cupcake. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Not to get off of Caitlin, because I do want to talk more about her if you guys want to, but I was actually shocked that we got the Vi and Jinx reunion kind of as early as we did. I thought it was going to hold off. That was like during the fight right before the firelights. They meet back up, and then the firelights come and like fuck shit up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I was shocked that we got that. And that immediately Vi hugs her and she accepts the hug. Because for some reason, I just thought it was going to be absolute chaos. Like the minute she sees, they were just going to start fucking fighting each other. I mean, I knew that Vi would be the one who wanted to hug, but I didn't think Jinx was actually gonna accept it. I was shocked and happy about it. I was happy that they got reunited.
That scene was amazing. Where mm-hmm. it ends, with Vi getting taken by the firelights, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's right. The end of the episode, and that scene was so good for a couple of reasons. Now that we're just talking about that specific part, we're doing it. But yeah, like I was saying, this is where I really started to notice how much Caitlin triggers the Harley Quinn. Jinx isn't even like, she's just like processing, and she just like turns and screams like, I wasn't talking to you. She's like, everyone shut up, I need to think. And like, nobody's talking. She's just like walking around and freaking out. And oh, dude, that scene is so good, because when the firelights come in, you see right away how good Jinx is at fighting. She's not just like a mechanic or whatever.
Gadget girl. Yeah.
Like, she's dodging close, she's like popping bullets at the bombs and stuff. Like that whole scene was perfect, and it did feel weird that the sisters got back together and it got split up so quickly. But if they didn't get split up, I think there was a chance that the reconciliation could have happened, so they needed something to happen to pull them away from each other.
So yeah, my question was going to be, if Caitlin doesn't show up to cause the strife, you know, they're hugging, and then Jinx sees Caitlin and Caitlin sees Jinx, and they both are like, whoa. And then, you know, they break off, and that's when Jinx starts going a little cray again. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, like, if that didn't happen, there's a chance that it could have been fixed. Now, we know that Jinx was at any second ready to burst, but there was a chance. I mean, she was waiting for Vi. She the scene where she does the smoke bomb or the whatever it's called, you know, the blue smoke.
Oh yeah,
the flare, the flare,
smoke signal flare. Yeah, that was freaking amazing. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting there going, "Vi, you better show up. You better freaking show up." The music in this entire show was just doing it. Literally, the entire show.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it's when she's holding the flare up, and then my other favorite moment is when Vi and Jace are about to fuck up the factory, and Vi's like coming down the walls, and then she punches the one shimmer dude in the fucking face, and then the music kicks. I'm like, the soundtrack is perfect. To go back to what we were saying about the showdown with Vi and Jinx's first reunion, I honestly think even with Caitlin being there, I think things would have been fine if the firelights just hadn't shown up.
She freaking out about Caitlin? Like, weren't they? I feel like they kind of freaked out about each other. You're saying you think Vi would have been able to calm it down without the firelights?
to me, it looked like she was like right on the cusp of like breaking through. And then, of course, with the timing with these two sisters, as is everything, the firelights show up and then they distract him. And even with Vi's appearance there, Jinx takes it as like, you're only here for the gemstone. You're not even here for me. And Vi's of course, she doesn't even know what that is at that point. But it's just, again, the timing of how bad the situation is for both of them.
Right.
And to take it that next step further, what we like, Jamie, what you had been talking about earlier with Shimmer, I really think that like Jinx, prior to being on death's row and having to take that really fucked up surgery approach, like she was hovering, if anything, the side of good with like Vi, if anything, she was hovering that side more. But then the Shimmer happens and then she has that new look in her eye. And I think that's what kind of it just pushes the craziness more so out of her. And that's when she's fully sitting down at that chair and she's like, I'm fucking Jinx now. You know, like I think the Shimmer definitely pushed her back to the side of Silco rather than being on the side of Vi.
I agree with that. Yeah, I think that you nailed it.
So anything else we want to bring up specifically about Caitlyn?
The only other thing with Caitlyn is that I would say is the whole we didn't talk about Marcus yet and his whole thing, you know, he's a little bastard. But yeah, I mean, I just want to say that Caitlyn, I'm not going to call it plot armor because I don't think that, but she just survived death so many times and she should have died. Mm-hmm. You know, the Marcus scene, a couple of the bombs, obviously the end. The Marcus scene, I really thought that was going to be her death too. Like, I thought Marcus was just going to say, I thought Echo was dead. I thought she was dead. I thought it was going to start, you know, I thought that was really going to start like the war thing. I thought it was going to put Jace over, but obviously I'm glad she lived.
And let me say this though about Caitlyn is I remember how I felt about this when I was watching the finale the first time, that when they're at the little Alice in Wonderland tea party at the end and Jinx walks up with the freaking pan and is like, oh, I visited your friend today. I was like, oh my God, if Caitlyn's head is under that, I was just going to like lose my shit. And even the second time, it's such a high tension moment. And at this point, you've seen enough of Jinx that she might have fucking done it. Did you guys think that there was a chance we were seeing dead Caitlyn?
100%. 10 out of 10. But it was a cupcake, which is cute.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
My whole thing, yeah, that's funny. Like I said, I saw the Shimmer go in her when I said, you're evil. Like, I didn't think there was going to be a turn there, but I'm still not going to act like I didn't want it. So I would have said that if the head was there, then there's no reconciliation at all. And at that point in the episode, we only have like 10 minutes left. And I'm like, I just don't know how this is ending. I can't figure this shit out. But in my heart, I still wanted it to be okay. And, you know, really, you know, with her going a little cray and then she has Silco on one side and Vi on the other side, and you find out her head's not actually there on the silver platter. I was like, okay, maybe somehow, you know, maybe. And that's why I really was hoping it wasn't going to be her head.
I like that Jinx was like, I had breakfast with your girlfriend earlier or whatever. I'm like, girlfriend, come on.
She's an ally.
It's like she knew. Yeah, she's a fucking ally. She's nuts. She's out of her fucking mind, but she's an ally.
It's crazy for me, too, realizing that what honestly sends her to being full Jinx now is the death of Silco. Like, even my second time watching it, when she fires the gun, and you're kind of waiting to see confirm that it's Silco dead that got shot, you would think in that moment that she had made up her mind, because it was kind of totally reacting out of the context of the argument, like who is right, who is wrong. Vi saying that Silco, you know, poisoned your mind. Silco's like, no, like she had been treating you like shit. You know, you're the Jinx for a reason, all this stuff. And then she fires. And then you think for a second that after Silco dies, that maybe, just maybe, there's hope for her to go with Vi now. Now that she no longer has Silco, she's now completely unhinged as if she wasn't before. She has nothing to hold her back, and that's when she sits down and chooses the side of Jinx, which,
dude,
I think is crazy.
The epic throne sit when she sits back and just like puts her arms back, that is like one of the shots that like is sort of, I would say, iconic from the show. Like, I've seen that. Yeah, it's just sick. She like leans back, has the arms out, and she just has the gun at her side.
Was the dark Milo in the background too, probably? Like, I love anytime we see like her talking and it's like the dark Milo like over her shoulder, like even on the, like when they first have the reunion with Vi and her, like holding the gun up, but we get a full like rotation of shot of her, and we see like Milo on her back talking to her.
Yeah,
like,
that's creepy as shit.
Yeah, I love it.
When they're at the dinner table, quote unquote, and Milo and Clagger mechanically are at the table, if I'm Vi, I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, first of all, the disrespect. You killed them. What are you putting fake versions of them at the dinner table?
And then they also had the she had set up a plate too. I don't know if you caught it too. It's like after they show Klager and Milo, I'm pretty sure she had the family portrait too to the other side, like directly across. She's like, oh, is everyone here? And the only person we were missing was Caitlin. Literally, like Vander, Klager, Milo, the parents, like everyone that mattered to her was at that table right there.
And when she's going cray, she shoots Milo to shut him up.
I was just going to say, that motherfucker Milo keeps talking back to her in her head. It's ridiculous. Like, every time.
Yeah, well, he was giving her shit when she was young and innocent, too. Yeah. So it makes sense that he's just giving her shit 24/7.
I do love the tea party scene, though. Like, I just...
Yeah,
that was just, like, so much buildup up to that point. And I guess we can take it back here and talk about Silco and how we get to that moment, because I think... I mean, if you guys are good, because we're not really talking about Caitlin anymore, we'll get back to more Jinx stuff. For Silco... This might be a hot take. I don't really know, but I actually enjoy Silco as like a character. He's a very consistent character. Yeah. And he has good backstory with Vander. His whole thing about his just undying love for Jinx as a daughter is something that took me by surprise the first time. Like, I thought he was ready to like turn her over after using her as like an asset or a weapon, whatever you want to call it. But the fact that he really did take over Vander's role as her father and like did love and care for her, and he showed it multiple times throughout the span of these four episodes. So that part for me was something I did not expect the first time through.
I mean, even the fucking quote when he's dying, he's like, I would have never given you to them, not for anything. It's even with their weird twisted fucking relationship, like that did honestly hit me a little bit. I was like, I do feel a little bit unfortunately bad for Silco, but honestly his death means better times, hopefully, for the rest of the people. But even when Silco is having, I forget what episode, it's 6 or 7, he's at Vander's grave and he still is calling Vander his brother, which I thought was like mad respect for Silco.
That's 8.
He's talking to him in the statue.
Yeah, he's talking to the statue and he's like, and he pours one out for him. I'm like, Silco still has like major respect for Vander, even though he murdered him in cold blood. It's crazy.
There's like arguments that, you know, you have Silco, who you probably, when you first met him, you would have probably liked him. Him and Vander were probably the homies, rebelling against the, you know, the topsiders. And then he changes, and for better or worse, obviously, based on whatever you believe. But if you think about him and you compare him to Jinx and she changes, I feel like he's less of a villain than she is.
I agree.
Totally. He gets humanized a lot of times during the show, whereas Jinx did not. Right? Jinx in the back half of the show, post time skip, was barely ever humanized. So when you think about Silco, you're just like, he's a bad guy, but like he's got people.
He's Tony Soprano.
Likes. Yeah, exactly. But like probably less so. I mean, I feel like he's only loyal to people to a point. Like, he murdered those other guys. Well, they were going to murder him, actually. And then
I was just going to say that whole group of people that worked underneath Silco, like, he didn't, I think, didn't care for them as much as maybe like Savika and Jinx. Like, I would even throw Savika in that category. Definitely. But you're absolutely right, Kathleen. Like, I think even though he wanted a nation of Zaun, and like that to him was a good goal and maybe not necessarily totally evil, but Jinx's evil is just pure chaos. Like, what is her goal even? Like, she's just killing people. She just wants the gemstone. She just wants
to
get revenge.
That's the point.
Yeah, yeah. But at least Silco had, like,
some
kind
people
of like
just want to watch the world burn, man.
Yes, dude.
That's her.
But I want to bring something up. We just mentioned it briefly. Like, we're saying mob boss. We're saying, like, all these underlings. I fucking love the scene where Silco just big dicks it to all the other underlings.
Yeah.
Where he walks into that room. And this actually is a really good world building piece here that we talked about in our last podcast. When he walks into that room with all the mob underlings of the Zaun people that are under him and they're thinking about rebelling, and he just does the whole cuts the air supply, like looks him in the face, tells the plan, and he can't breathe either. And that whole time he's like doing this thing, like looking him in the eye. You can't even tell. And he just takes a breath and fucking throws it on the ground in front of, I think his name was Finn, the
Finn's
guy.
The sketch bag that tries to get him again later after he didn't learn his lesson, apparently.
Oh, yes. That was so cool too.
But that's a question I think you two, Kathleen and Jimmy, were talking about either in the pilot or in our last podcast about the air quality, and like that kind of just showed you a little bit why the enforcers act like they do. And like, yeah, but that was just a cool little moment, and it did reinforce like Silco has this shit down locked and he is the mob boss.
Yeah, he's good.
I guess really quick, I want to talk about Silco here. And I guess one of the arguments about me saying he's not as bad as or Jinx might be worse, is, yeah, the Shimmer thing, he was the POS for that, letting everybody basically die. And it's just, you know, it's a whole drug thing. It's the same thing, like, just like talking about a mob boss. But he has the scene where he talks to Vander, and he's saying, you know, daughters, right? Basically, you know, like he's saying, like, we have everything we ever wanted. How come I'm worrying about Jinx, right? And then, but Jinx is in the background taking it like he's saying, I'm going to give her up.
Yeah.
And he says to Jace, done, basically. Like, he said, he doesn't fight back when Jinx, well, he does fight back, but then he eventually says, like, you got it, right? Like, he does agree to it and, like, say, you can terms. Have Jinx. The terms.
I don't think he explicitly agrees to it, but you do take it as, like, he's going to do it, I guess.
I like to have, and I don't really want to say I like to have black and white where I'm saying, like, he's definitely the villain. Like, you know, I definitely like when we're shades of gray and everything. But with me focusing on the fact that he's supposed to be the villain and me wanting so badly Vi and Jinx to get back together, and for me to try to say it's his fault that Jinx is bad, even though really she was starting to get a little cray as soon as she did everything she did as Powder. Any of you guys think at all that he was just saying that because he knew he was on his dying breath? Or do you really think that he was never going to give her up?
When you say it, I think the first time I actually, like, in my head was thinking, like, I don't fully trust him. But the second time around, I'm fully committing to the fact that he would have never gave her up.
Me too.
Okay.
See, I was kind of thinking he was just saying it because he was dying.
That's kind of how I took it.
Well, what's the point of saving face? Like, he doesn't, who cares?
Still psychologically fucks with Jinx for the rest of her life.
Yeah, but
even though she's the one who fucking killed him. But I might just be like, you know what? Because he does love her. He didn't want to give Jinx up. But I feel like he's at the point where he's like, this bitch is going to keep fucking shit up for me. I love her, but what a bitch.
Well, okay, I have an analogy here, and we can decide as a podcast if I shouldn't talk about it because, if we'll have to edit it. But I took it almost like Stranger Things with the Doctor and Elle, where we had the same conversation where we were like, well, we still think he's a piece of shit, and he's just trying to, like, make himself feel better before he dies. He was going to use Elle all the way up until the moment that he got shot, and then he decides to save her after he knows he's about to die. Mm-hmm. I just took it where Silco was trying to get her back on his side. Yes, 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 he loves her, just like Dr. Brenner loved Elle. But either way, like, my take was that he was going to get his dream and give her up. If everything went his way, he would have felt bad about it. He would have been Thanos'd where he has to give up Gamora. But he would have done it. That was my take.
Wow, those are two amazing freaking comparisons right there. Holy shit.
That really was.
That
wow.
was incredible. But what I'll say, I don't remember where I landed on the Stranger Things thing when we did it live. Yeah. But right now, from what I'm remembering, and who knows how consistent that is, I'm thinking that I lean the opposite ways between Brenner and Silco. But you could convince me the other way, where I still think Silco would not have done it, but I think Brenner was trying to, like, be manipulative at his last breath. Mm-hmm, either way, you could convince me both sides, but, like, that's kind of how I lean. But fucking still, clap, clap, clap.
That was good, James.
Throw the Thanos thing in there, too. That's perfect.
Yeah, that was very convincing, because you're making me want to say, I think he would sacrifice her, that information was on. But I'm still going to stick to my guns. I still think he would not have sacrificed her.
Right. Okay.
Okay, so we got two more main characters to talk here, and then that should pick up pretty much the rest of the series. Mm-hmm. So let's take it back. We'll end with Vi. And then we could just let's talk through Jace, because we haven't really gotten much about him. We haven't talked much about him besides the Mel stuff. Let's definitely dive into him, because it's a little bit slower paced, his storyline, but very important, big plot mover. And boy, oh boy, when he crosses paths with Vi and they team up, geez, I was on cloud nine, just loving them work together.
You know what? It's crazy that me and Jimmy didn't really talk through any, like, well, what happens when Jace and Vi meet up? Like, obviously, these storylines are going to cross. You may have thought about it, but we didn't talk about it on the pod. I didn't even think about it. I like them together. I don't, like, love Jace's storyline. I'm not going to lie. That was a little boring, but I still like him. I think he's a great character. I get it, but, like, I always want to be in the Undercity. I feel like for this storyline, if you need something out of me, you got to ask me a question, or else, like, a pointed question, or else, because in general, I'm like, it was cool.
The way that I felt about Jace was that he was the bigger picture story. But the sad thing is that we may not have a bigger picture. I mean, like you said, Luke and Dave, if we get a season two in another world or another nation or however you want to say it, we're going to have a situation where Jace has talked about the aftermath of what happens, whether Jace lives or dies is talked about. Hextech is talked about. So yeah, he is bigger picture, but I just like assumed that Jace's story just felt like I wanted more. And it was bigger picture for like a season two, three, four, whatever, of just like the expansion of everything about him pretty much.
That makes total sense. And I guess the reason I get a little bit more excited about Jace is like what I was saying earlier. I paid attention to this top side storyline more this second time around. So, and I already knew all the pieces and stuff, but it was good to just focus on it. And Jace is just like the perfect human almost. The only time you can really question about what's going on is when he's in the transitional period of deciding should he use the weapons for the hex core or not, like all of that stuff. But even that gets hashed out pretty damn quick. And I feel like I'm always riding for Jace with the information that he has at the time he makes decisions. So he's just good all around. But the thing I love the most about him is like he's a genius. And he always is down to get his hands dirty. Like he is the one that goes down into the forge and like with his fucking rips his buff ass shirt off.
Oh
he's
my God.
Pulling the freaking forge fire down.
He's doing like some nice pull downs.
He makes the hammer. He makes Vi's upgraded gloves. Like all of that stuff is amazing. And then when he does go to have the conversation with Vi, which leads him to going down there, down under and kicking ass, like that changes, that opened up his whole perspective. And it led to the final political piece that happens in the last like 10 minutes of the show where he was going to make that change and he was convincing the counselor. So you're right. Like it's definitely on paper more boring, but it was so necessary. And I appreciate it the second time around because Jace is just a beast.
Yeah. I definitely wouldn't say that I agree with Kathleen fully where I say boring as a word. I definitely enjoyed Jace 100%. Mm-hmm. And I know, Luke, you specifically, we always talk about this, whether, you know, it's Thrones, Carnival Row. I'm going to add Carnival Row to this. We talk about the political stuff and you're living the dream, you know, and I tend to agree with that as well. Like, I do enjoy the back and forth where we have, you know, like Kathleen was saying, the gritty throwdowns of the underside, the lanes. And then we have, you know, the story of the top sides where you need one to have the other, obviously. I mean, it's a civil war pretty much. So I just think that. Maybe underwhelming, I guess, is a word I could say. Not definitely not boring, but maybe underwhelming just because of what I said, where I was like, I felt like his storyline should have been more bigger picture, that we might not even get a bigger picture.
The characters from the like the lanes and everything were very unique characters that they have their very specific intentions and everything. Whereas Jace is like a generic character who's like the very innocent young star pupil who's coming in, doesn't really know much.
That's always
war.
The most quote-unquote boring character.
Yeah, he comes in, he just sees, like, he's like, all right, I'm gonna help the world, and that's it's as easy as that. Like, I'm just gonna be helpful. And then you kind of get the effect of like, okay, the gemstones can actually be powered for weapons, the lanes people all have access to the gemstones now. And you know, it really hits home too, especially when he's in the factory getting his hands dirty, when he accidentally kills the kid, who I love the twist too, that it was Rennie's son. Yeah, I forgot about that too, even though it was like a really probably small piece that they didn't really need to necessarily add. I just thought it added an extra layer of depth to all the characters. But when Jace is there and you see him when he's fighting, he's like, he's visibly angry, like growling and like screaming, and then he fires at the kid, and then like his persona completely changes, and he's for a split second he was like quote unquote enjoying being able to do something, but now that he actually has blood on his hands, he wasn't willing to take that next step further. And Vi was right. I mean, she's like, look, that was one kid. This shit happens 100 times a day. It sucks to say it, but there's got to be small sacrifices to help the greater good. And Jace in that moment, really, I think that really changed him as a person.
There is a fork in the road, man. Like the scene where you see him kind of doing exactly what you said, Dave, where he feels bad, the kid's dead, but then he looks around and sees all the little kids that are being forced to work. And then he kind of, you know, puts down the hammers, quote unquote. And, you know, he could have decided to go with Vi. He could have done what he did. And he went good boy Jace. And that is true to his character, I would say. Just like you said, Dave, he got his hands dirty and it just wasn't the way he saw it. Or it wasn't the way that he wanted to see everything through. But let's talk about him sandbagging our boy Humerdinger, man.
I don't know. I'm indifferent about that because I almost feel like Jace was right. He was just saying it in the angry way. Humerdinger's out here waiting decades and decades and decades to just slow burn things. While he literally says, like, humans don't live this long. Like, we can make change and progress right now. And I don't know. We're humans. I feel like I that's more relatable to me.
Yeah, no.
And let's just wait 100 years before
I just think that he like very lightly took the fact that Humperdinger was like this, whatever this hex, what was this, the hex organism called?
The hex core, was that one? I think that was the hex core. Because hex, well, yeah, is the like hex, the bigger picture, the gemstones. And then
well, hex, the hex core, you know, Humperdinger was like, this is like the worst thing that you could do. You need to destroy it right now. And Jason Victor, like, nah, we're good.
Yeah.
You know, like, I just feel like Humperdinger's your mentor. You might want to think, like, when he says the hammer and the laser and the
claw,
the Thanos gauntlet, you know, they're weapons. Humperdinger's correct.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Jace was just like, you know, come on, man. That's one thing. But if Humperdinger's like, this thing needs to be destroyed right now. Like, Humperdinger for the weapons was like, guys, this is sweet, but let's just give it like 10 years.
Yeah.
The freaking organism, he's like, this thing is
the cause.
Worst.
This was the thing I'm
like,
talking about.
Nah.
Yeah, we're you're right. You're actually, that was convincing.
You know, I'm convincing you, bro.
You
I'm
are, dude.
By the way, dude, I think our boy Jace screwed up by not bringing the laser thing to the factory, man. He could have just been chopping heads off left and right. That was the main thing we said could be weaponized.
Yeah, really, though.
Last thing I can say on Jason, we can move on. If there is a season two direct continuation of this, I am so ready for Jason Mel to be a power couple. That
so you think yeah. They're alive?
Oh, yeah.
Just because of the game, or you just do you think that? I mean, she was literally, her back was to the window when the
I think they're alive if they're going to directly continue this from that scene in season two. Maybe not Mel. You're right. Mel's dead. But Jace has the bubble protection thing that he builds into all of his like tech things. Like you saw it with the hammer. You saw it with Vi at the end with the gauntlet. So I think maybe that's easily workable to make it so he's
for him.
Alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hypothetically that they're in the room and maybe it's just in the corner. There's his hammer and like he whips it out and does the shield. Whatever.
Well, I'm just assuming.
Or
he's like
I would
Iron
say
Man.
He's wearing something.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah,
like
yeah.
He could literally be wearing like a ring or a bracelet or anything. Like, I mean, Victor, we find out has like this cool brace that's helping him stay, you know, straight up. That we didn't know until he takes his clothes off. So we have no idea. He definitely could be like Iron Man nanotech going on here.
Let's put it on the board then. Let's all give our thoughts on if we think Mel is going to be alive. I think
everybody's dead except for Jace. And I would have said everybody's dead. Wow. But I do think that Jace is too big of a picture. And I don't know if I'm letting the fact that you said he's in the game still cloud me at all. But because I asked that question to you right away, because I was like, did this end with the entire council dying? And I could see that, and that is chaos. Like, starting a season two where you're like, holy shit, the top side is going to war now, but they have no counselors. You just freaking ruined everything. They all agreed to peace, and Jinx blew them up.
Yeah,
now you know war is happening. That would be a redonkulous season two.
Right.
I don't necessarily think you need Jace. Victor is kind of alive, right? He wasn't in the room, right? Or was he? I can't remember if he's in the room, but
I think he was, because that was them talking about. I feel like he was in the room.
I don't think he was. I don't think so either.
He was in the room at one point with.
Yeah,
like,
he was
maybe
in the
not
room.
There. Like he was in a counselor meeting before, though.
Yeah, he was in the room earlier. I can't remember which one, but I do believe I don't. If he's not, my point is that Hex Tech can move forward because Jace isn't the only one who controls it.
I think Caitlin's mom is a hunt. Like, if that is a
killer,
like, that is so dead because then that is already just so much plot line for Vi and Caitlin. Like, that's just like Caitlin hating Jinx, who is Vi's sister, kind of thing. Like, she's definitely dead, I think.
So, my only question was Mel's mom in the room? Probably not.
No, she was not.
Because
there
wasn't.
Needs to be some thread to continue the Noxus storyline if Mel is actually dead. And they could go through the mom, so that's fine. But I do think Jace is 100% alive. And I'm at like 50-50 now for Mel because you guys are making me feel bad.
It's crazy that we may never know.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, and I mean, we're pretty much at end game talk here, or, you know, end of the pod almost. So my thoughts here when it comes to like a season two, and I'm the one who said, I guess, first on this episode, just because I wanted to bring it up, the fact that I would be sad, and I think you all agree, that we would be sad if there's no Jinx, Vi, Caitlin, Humperdinger, Echo, etc. in a season two. But at the same time, when I'm like thinking through this ever since I finished the finale, what's like more to do with Vi versus Jinx? Because unless you really, really, really are going to figure out a way to bring her back to the good side, it's not like she's like an underlord or an underworld lord who can be Silco. She's crazy, so she's not like thinking up all these plans to be like the head underworld boss or whatever, fighting the topsiders. I feel like it's just torture to us to watch Vi and Jinx fight when you don't think that there really is a solution to it. Like, we agree pretty much that she's too far gone, just like everyone else said she is. So if she's too far gone, she's really only good to be used as like the main sidekick, as the brains. Like, hey, you're my main boss. You're the bad guy that you have to fight to get to the mob boss or whatever. So I don't know. I felt like with Silco being done, you know, we don't really know for sure that Saviko, right? Is that her name?
Saviko's
fully dead, but she's not interesting as the main bad guy. So, I mean, the main bad guy could be Mel's mom just saying, you know, I'm taking this tech. And then Vi and Jinx could be in the show, but just not a huge... Or Jinx, like Vi could be a big part of the main story, but not Jinx. I don't know. I'm just saying, I don't know how we can do more with Jinx and Vi.
You're right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was written with the idea that a season two would ever happen for these characters.
Yeah.
And you're right, too. I mean, for me, like, she chose the path of Jinx. Her sitting in that chair was, this is the absolute no hope of bringing her back at all.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't know. I think we could do plenty.
are you still trying to reconcile them, or are we trying to kill one of them?
Oh, I'm trying to reconcile. No, we got to kill Jinx. We do. We have to kill Jinx, unfortunately.
That means that, like, that changes Vi's character, because I feel like Vi would be a totally different character if she makes the realization that I have to kill Jinx.
Unless Caitlyn pulls her out of it.
You know what would be sick, though? Would be like one of those like really deep, crazy cells where she's just like losing her mind by herself in like a straitjacket.
Yeah, she's like the Joker in Arkham Asylum.
Exactly, like a big, bad cell that no one could ever go to. 100 locks, but somehow she still gets out. And is
what would be cool would be something where we would have to have a direct aftermath. And right now, Jinx is just living the dream. I mean, she has Caitlyn on the ground. She has Vi tied up. So we don't know how she would get caught. But if she does get put in the cell, if Vi's the main character, it would be kind of cool if you just put Jinx in the background being like the person she has to visit at times to get like underworld advice or something, or what would the bad guy do, or what would somebody crazy do, or whatever. But that puts Jinx back in the story, but just not like, hey, we 1v1, we have to freaking fight for 9 episodes. I would watch it though.
Let's keep talking about her though, because this is kind of the last, there's a couple of scenes that we missed that were her centric, Vi centric, that we didn't get a chance to talk about yet because we weren't going over her character yet. But one thing that I guess could also be considered a hot take. When I first watched this show and I watched it through the whole first time, I walked away loving Jinx. She was my like favorite character, and I was lower on Vi than it seemed like everybody else. But this second time through, like, I don't know what I was seeing, because I fucking love Vi. I think she became like my favorite character, and everything about just her, the way she interacts with Caitlyn's amazing, just the way she can flip a switch and she is just badass, and the way she embodies Vander and his fighting style, and she just gets shit done, even to the little things they do, like right when she gets out of the cell and she jumps down like Assassin's Creed style to the Undercity and Caitlyn's like falling the whole way through.
Yeah,
we talked about that, how there's got to be more ways than just like the elevator, like the way she can like navigate the Undercity. She's been locked up for all these years, doesn't matter, she is just pure badass, and I just would ride for her any day of the week. It's just awesome how much more I enjoyed her this time, and I don't know what I was seeing before, because Haley Steinfeld's the best.
Yeah, all the parkour, she was crushing it. Vi's my favorite character, yeah, for sure. I'm shocked that you left season one the first time. I understand the Jinx love, but Vi's the protagonist, but she's not any less badass than Jinx. Jinx is crazy, but Vi is the coolest. Like, nothing not to love. About
who wins in a fight? 1v1, Kathleen.
God. What, do they have gadgets, or is it just
everything
fists?
Everything you need. Everything you need.
Everything
because
you need.
You can't take the gadgets away from Jinx. That's who she is.
She can fight though.
Yeah, well, that's, she can also fight. So who wins, Kathleen?
I think Jinx wins because Vi doesn't have it in her to kill her.
I honestly think Jinx wins because Vi doesn't have it in her to kill her, and Jinx will go
the extra mile. Yeah.
Nah. Mm-hmm. I think Vi.
Yeah, I think I was gonna. I think you're right. Like, if it had to be a death match, I think Jinx wins. But if it's just like knockout, I think Vi wins. And we saw that with the punching game. I mean, granted, she wasn't using a gun in the punching game, but Vi still has the top score. Like, come on. Jinx ain't beating that.
This is a perfect segue into what brings up how good Vi is at fighting. Is we didn't really talk much about it, but Savika actually was a great character, especially on my second watch, because she's literally there in like one of the first scenes of the entire show. She grows a little bit. And she's a loyal hoe, man. She never betrays Bilko at all. And the fight that happens in episode one, like the round one, amazing. And then the rematch in the finale, holy shit, I was loving it. The music, the way they use the metal arm. Like, I'm pretty sure in the first fight, like when she gets knocked down, she like puts the arm on the ground and it like extends her up. Like, it was just, dude, that fight was so freaking good. Both of them were. I love the mini rivalry they built between Vi and Savika over like four episodes, whatever it was.
Yeah,
he was amazing. I just appreciated her much more the second time.
Totally have to give the respect that she deserves for not betraying Silco first and second time around. I'm still convinced that she was going to totally betray him there, and both times I'm surprised that she just that slash and then it's just right on the guy's throat. That was straight out of an anime. That was so badass.
When I was watching, I thought that was going to be Silco's end with her finally betraying him, but his monologue, even though he's talking to them, was awesome, saying like, I still believe in loyalty, and then whoosh, pops the freaking guy's jaw off, and then the fight scenes were amazing. The arm being powered through Shimmer, and then it also going into her body to make her like superhuman, and the animation with that, amazing. You know, every single fight that she was a part of was awesome. Yeah, I'd probably take it back. I think Vi will probably win against Jinx, but
they showcase how good of a fighter is with Savika as a character. Yeah.
Here's the deal. They showed us how crazy you get when you're on Shimmer, like how OP you get when you're on Shimmer. We saw that with whatever that dude's name was. Deckard. That was actually Dicker was who was throwing down with Vander, our homie. We were talking about how like Vander was a badass because he got the first block in. Well, eventually, you know, we're talking about Vi and even Jason people throwing down with these Shimmer people full on and winning, you know? Yeah. So, you know, Vi's a badass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She is.
I want to know where Jace got his fighting skills from, though, because if Vander can't beat freaking Shimmer people, why can he?
I was thinking the same thing when I was watching. I was like, where has this dude ever learned to fight? And especially like wield a, like, okay, maybe he knows how to wield a hammer, but still, like, he should not know how to fight as well as he did in that moment.
I mean, we saw how OP Decker got, you know, also, and, like, then, and we're talking about surrounded by these Shimmer peeps.
Yeah, I feel like maybe also the Shimmer that Deckard took originally was just like a more like not advanced version. So it just kind of, he took it and he just, we saw the form, like he got bigger. Like the people that they were fighting, they had the mass and it was like more controlled. Like they were quicker, it seemed like. I think there might have been something.
And he's like animalistic. Yeah, he's more like, he's not in control as much. Yeah, I mean, because I was thinking too, Jinx, a couple times when it happens, even Vi, when they give it to her to help her with her wound, I mean, she takes it and they go, whoo, and then they're just kind of like overpowered a little bit, but they're not like Decker was, where it was like, rah, you know, like he was a freak, you know.
Also, speaking of Deckard, is the blonde guy that we kept randomly seeing in these 5 to 9 episodes, like when Vi walks in for the second Savika fight, there's this weird
dude who licks
dude,
the
he,
head.
Like, yeah, he licks the head.
What
is that,
was that?
Is that Deckard? Was that supposed
to be
him? I don't
think so. He was in multiple episodes, but I don't think it was supposed to be Deckard. Yeah. It could have been. I don't know.
That's why I took it.
He is
Deckard,
licking things, though.
He like licks the head, he puts on a song, and then he immediately gets kicked out.
How awesome was that? It was meta again right there, where they put the track that opens up every single episode. I love when they do those kind of things.
Yeah. I mean, while we were, let's just talk about Imagine Dragons cameo. I was laughing. I mean,
how does that work, do you think?
What are these guys,
think,
like huge fans of the video game or something?
League
and they're
of Legends,
like, I need to be involved.
That's what I was going to say. Do you think it was Arcane hitting them up, being like, yo, we want to use your song, and then they're like, yeah, we'll put you in the show? Or do you think that Imagine Dragons are just straight up League of Legends homies and they want to be a part of it?
I don't know, because the name of the song and the messaging is important to the theme of the show. So I don't know if it was like chicken or egg situation or the things lined up. Like, who knows?
I do actually know, because I think I looked this up when I first watched it, but they do play the games a lot. In terms of like who reached out to who first, I'm not sure, but I do know that the band members are like diehard fans of the games. How I imagine it going is like League of Legends is like, all right, we're coming out with a show, and Imagine Dragons were like, yo, we got this banger of a song that would just fit perfectly with the show, so let's work on it.
Or or it could have been straight up the similar, where it's just like, hey, can we use your song? And they're like, can you use our freaking song? Can you put us in this damn show? We love this game. Yeah, you know, something like that.
I loved it, man. And that was happening in the background of Vi walking up to the first fight, and like she's like kind of gearing up. Like a couple of things are just happening. It's just, it was just really well made.
Really quick, I'm just laughing. I tried to Google it, but everyone is mad about Imagine Dragons. It's a tweet. Arcane is so good that I can forgive the Imagine Dragons cameo. Why Imagine Dragons? Like literally just hating all these Reddit posts.
Well, it's similar to like when Thrones was like, Ed Sheeran, what are you putting that guy? You know, like that kind of thing. Everyone's like, I want to be in the show. Don't let that bastard in.
LOL. Imagine Dragons makes an appearance in the latest Arcane teaser.
We can't end this episode without talking about the sweet moment that Vi has with Vander when she's getting up from her fight, when she's throwing down. Just having our boy back. I would be fine with a season two or a prequel where we get to see Vander and Silco, or Vander in his badass days, those kind of things. But I'm glad that we got a nice Vander line that brought her back from the dead. And then she starts kicking some ass.
So, girl, let's put a pin in that for like 2 minutes. And let me get back to you, because you're going to be real happy about this.
Or not.
Who knows? Either way. So I think we pretty much have hit everything, but I'm just going to open the floor to anything that's not the literal like last closing song that we get to flash of everybody in their in the closure of the season. Is there anything else you guys want to bring up before we just talk about the closing two to five minutes? So this is just basically as Jinx is winding up the shark RPG and she shoots it at the council, you're getting quick flashes to a lot of the different characters we got the last time you'll ever see them. And one of the flashes, which I definitely didn't know the first time watching, and only knew because I did a little research after, but and I'll give the warning right now, if you care about any maybe potential spoilers for season two, probably not, I would just skip like 30 seconds here, but anyway, so you get that flash of Victor's childhood like scientist guy, right? Like the mad scientist guy. You probably took nothing from that besides the fact that he's still a person, right? What you see in the forefront of the shot is a little like claw hanging down. Like it's all you do is see like the tips of a specific claw. And apparently in the League of Legends video game, we were very shocked to find out that Vander is a playable character, and he's actually this like huge werewolf. I guess it's Shimmer related. There's a claw like
he's sitting up, dude.
Honestly, I would just look up an image of what Vander looks like in League of Legends, and you'll see exactly what I'm saying. And the claw that you see that the mad scientist seen is the claw. So basically, there's a chance that the mad scientist is working on Vander and actually like bringing him back to life. And like if there were to be a season two, he would be a character completely transformed by Shimmer.
Oh, shit.
Damn.
All right, let's see.
That's
that.
You see the claws that I'm talking about? Like, you see that right there.
And apparently, he's a freaking badass.
Yeah.
I think someone also, like, there's a couple references too in the show where they constantly refer to Vander as like some kind of like dog. So like either, well, whether it's like Silco calling him a lap dog for Piltover, I think there's like another like just random thug that calls him the Hound of the Underground.
So he's straight up a werewolf. Like there's no Vander face on him or anything. He's a wolf.
I don't know.
Yeah,
but that's
I'm going by the picture that I'm looking at. Damn. So let's get the voice actor back, and it's that'd be sweet.
Right. Yeah. And that would make for some really good emotional scenes. And that could be a trigger to help get Vi and Jinx to work together. I don't really know. There's something there, though.
So is there, I mean, I don't know if you know this or not, but is he like a bad guy or is he a good guy or doing it?
I don't know.
Do you not want to spoil it? Yeah.
No, I don't know.
Damn. He took the OG version of Shimmer, got super mutated and still had his facilities about him.
Yeah,
I think, so I hope Werewolf Vander is our homie still.
Yeah, because you know that Silco has direct ties to that mad scientist, because that's where he sends Jinx to get fixed on the verge of death. I'm sure he
could have been experimenting this
thing.
Whole time.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He's had him for the whole time, so who knows?
Shit. I like that. So that could have just been like an Easter egg, or like it could be a foreshadowing if they decide to go there. I like that. That's sweet. Yeah.
I'm like, now you've got me fucking pulled up this whole like,
get off the wiki.
What is Warwick's lore in League of Legends? And like, it's some pretty cool quotes from the game that they kind of are like trying to tie the pieces of how it is actually Vander. So it's a pretty cool article. Maybe I'll send it to you guys after this.
So let's take this home. I want everybody's top three characters, not counting our two main sisters.
Boom.
And then bottom three characters.
I think it would be interesting to allow Jinx to be in it with Vi. Right? Just because I think we all go one Vi, but well, I don't know if we all go one Vi, but I'm just saying some, like, I feel like I might not put Jinx too.
I don't think I'm putting Jinx at all. My top three are Caitlyn, Vander, and Jace.
Vander's the homie if he still gets to be in the top.
Wait, so you're not counting Vi and Jinx in that list?
Okay. Oh no, I thought we were only counting Jinx. Sorry, no, Vi's number one always, so I took her out completely. Okay. So without Vi and Jinx, because I was going to put Jinx in my bottom three, but not in a way where I don't like them on my screen. It's in a way where I'm like, ugh, I don't like them.
All right. Okay. Let's talk about this really quick then. Are we going to go by... it's tough. Are we going by like entertaining or like who we like? Like I just said, the difference between Jinx is like you're a badass. I freaking enjoy watching you, but also I mean you're kind of annoying and you're kind of like
you're just a villain.
I don't like you. You're the villain.
We can't root for villains. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So in that sense, I don't know if she's like top two or three, but if it's just by like, damn, this is a sweet character.
No, I think we have to do sweet character because I feel like that's what we usually end up doing. Yeah.
All right. I'll go then. I'm in already. Vi, Jinx, Echo, Vander, Caitlyn.
Damn, we got a similar one.
Ours is
and I want to say Humerdinger's got a nice little runner up.
Okay. I take Jace out and put Echo in mine, by the way.
Yeah. Okay, nice. So say yours again, Kathleen.
Are we doing five?
Do five.
Okay. So I'll do Vi, Caitlyn, Echo, Jace, Jinx.
Okay.
Mine's pretty similar to Jimmy's. I have Vi and Jinx, 1-2, Little Man, then Caitlyn, and I actually have Victor at number five. I really like him a lot more the second time around.
Cool.
Mine would go Vi into Jinx, and then Echo into Vander, and then five, I'm actually going to go Silco. I'm going to go Silco.
Nice.
Yeah, I was actually going to say there's an argument for Silco. Definitely.
Victor was a good one.
Yeah, Victor is a good one as well.
Nice.
Let's round the horn again. Least favorite. Three. I just have three here because you're not going to have Vi or Jinx in it. So, unless.
This is hard because I like everyone. Like, they're such good characters.
Marcus,
even if bad.
No.
Oh, Marcus sucks ass. Number one.
Okay, so Marcus
Decker,
can be.
See, you do have a good list. What do you
mean?
Tongue
guy. The tongue guy. Yeah.
The tongue guy.
Yeah, Marcus is number one. Marcus is number one overall for everyone.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Okay. That's...
I have Finn as number two.
Oh, I have Finn as number two.
Finn's like good. Finn's a good one. Kathleen's trying to register who Finn is, right?
Yep. Absolutely. I'm not doing Finn.
He's the one who tried to rebel against Silco.
Okay.
And then got his face chopped off. Yeah, that's like... a good one. I like Finn. And then I mean, Decker's a little bitch. I'll go with Decker.
Yeah,
Deckard or Decker?
I think it's Deckard
with a D.
Yeah. But seems like we're pretty much on the same page there. Fuck Marcus. He gets no redemption. I don't care that he had a cute little daughter. Fuck him.
Honestly, here's a hot take. If Milo and Clagger were to have grown up and not die, I think Milo I would have not liked.
That's fair.
The skinny one, right?
He was the one always giving powder shit.
Yeah. He used to piss me off. So, I mean, just the fact that he's still haunting her in the back of his mind. Mm-hmm. It's like, he obviously was so annoying when he was alive.
Let me whip out my third one here. I'm going to go with the fat guy counselor.
Is that what you call it, dude?
Yeah. I'm going to go with the fat guy counselor. I forget his name. The one who can't figure out the toy after all the years.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the fat guy prison guard that used to beat up Levi.
Also, okay, he could be 3-2. Yeah, fuck that
guy. Yeah, that guy deserves
to get
his ass.
I just think the fat guy counselor just has no right to be as a counselor. He is from what I saw, he is the least knowledgeable of any of the situation outside of Piltover. And every time they vote, he just like looks around. And he's like, oh, what's everyone else doing? Oh, voting? Yeah. Like, I'll just throw my hand up. So fuck that guy.
All right, guys, let's do our parting shots here. I'll start just because I want you, Jimmy and Kathleen, you guys end it. This was your first time. I'm just rehashing things I've already basically said. So I just loved it. This was a really good experience. I'm really happy and pleasantly surprised at like the reception you guys gave it that makes me more confident to just sell this show to basically anybody. And I will watch this again and again and again and again. It has such good rewatch value. And I'm just begging they put a season two out there because this is one of the best animated pieces of content I've ever seen in my life. And it deserves justice of seeing continuation of these characters.
Yeah.
I don't care if it gets messy in the end and one of the sisters has to kill each other. Give me more Jinx. Give me more Vi. Echo. Like, give me them all. It was a great time.
Not much to follow up on that. Just so many characters that you can fall in love with in this show. Just very few that you can hate. Even our top threes, we were kind of scrounging for that last guy to throw in there. And they're all just kind of minor characters, which just emphasizes again how great the main characters are. And I'm very glad that you guys had enjoyed this, because for me, I'm glad that I was able to be on this because I desperately needed to watch season two and re-feel these emotions again. I just need to make sure I'm a human, and it did it. The show is just definitely one of the best animated shows of all time that I've seen.
This is a great pitch, Town. I was waiting to watch this. I talked about this in the pilot. When you guys tell me to watch something, I trust you and I watch it, but we were waiting because we knew this was going to be a pitch, Town. I was dying to watch it, but I literally had no idea what I was going to watch. There's easily have been something where I was like, yeah, that's cool, but not anything crazy. Well, it blew me away right away, and it kept blowing me away throughout the 9 episodes. I talked about this again in the pilot, the stigma against like animation, anime, any of that kind of stuff when it comes to people, you know, saying, oh, I'm not going to watch that because it's, you know, it's an anime or it's cartoon or whatever. I wish that you could figure out a way to explain to people that's ridiculous. And I feel like this show is the show that can do that, to at least get their foot wet, you know, in so they can move on to other, you know, actual animes or whatever. Because I keep saying, I talked about this in the pilot, but like there's so much stuff that you can only do via animation, whether it's the you know, the character designs, the background stuff, the fight scenes, like the way that they show Jinx, just everything with the animation style was perfect. I love this show. I will be telling people, I will be pitching it to other people.
Nice.
And Kathleen, you're up.
Yeah, I already sold it to someone, this show already. So, and I was only 4 episodes deep at that point because I binged all 5 today. So during this pod, I've pretty much, my brain is not working today. I've been drinking nonstop for 5 since Wednesday. Like, unbelievable amount. So my brain, not quite here for this one, but I do love the show a lot. I pitched it through 4 to my friend Matt yesterday when we were coming home from New York. But yeah, this was a great show to just watch 5 episodes in a row today. I really needed it to just relax. And normally when you feel like shit and it's like 5 episodes of something, I'm like, oh my God, how am I ever going to get through these? These were the quickest episodes of my life. Like, these were so good. Visually so cool. My girlfriend kept just walking in and standing there and watching it, getting stopped by this whatever scene was on and watching for 10 minutes and then being like, oh, fuck, and like doing what she was doing because it's that good and captivating. So I'm happy I watched it. I needed this pitch, Town, in order to click play. So guys, for future reference, just pitch down something you need me to watch, especially if it's animated, and I'll watch the whole damn thing. Maybe you need to pitch down Avatar Last Airbender and then I'll binge the whole thing.
You made a good point, though. It's totally meant to be binged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. I as well binged the 5 episodes.
And I don't want to leave this episode without, I brought up the shout out to Haley Steinfeld again for her performance as Vi. Now, Kathleen, you blew my mind today. So I'll let you say, because I'm still just in shock at the timing of when you blew my mind, because I was literally mid episode. But go ahead.
Yeah. So I am a huge Yellow Jackets fan. And honestly, it's not even that I recognize the voice. It's that I was like, this actress is so good at voicing Jinx. And it's one of the main characters of Yellow Jacket season 1, a young character. If anyone who watched or hasn't watched Yellow Jackets, it's basically you get them as young characters, then you get them older, like in a way, flash forward. So she's one of my favorite characters on Yellow Jackets, and she crushed as Jinx.
Ella Purnell.
Ella Purnell. Okay, I see that too. Now, let me blow some minds here, and I didn't figure this out at all myself. I'm going to give a shout out to the Arcane League of Legends Netflix series Facebook group, because I made a post about it. just not even about like saying anything about our pod, just talking about League of Legends or Arcane, because I was like, damn, I want to talk about this. And I was saying how awesome the first couple episodes were. And somebody posted and said, let me blow your mind. Caitlin's voice actress is Cho Chang from Harry Potter.
Oh, my God.
Fuck
really?
Yeah.
That's so that's another dang, baby.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Situation. So, yeah, that was sweet. So we have a couple that we didn't realize. And I brought this up in one of the other pods where I was like, I can't hear Haley Steinfeld. Well, yeah, now I can hear it easily. Yeah, but yeah. It's just funny how that works.
Also, we may be potentially pitch-towning Yellow Jackets in the future, so be on the lookout for that.
Fuck yeah. Season 3 comes out in March. I can't wait. I will end the pod by saying that, funnily enough, I went on Jimmy's Netflix because when we get screeners for Netflix, we have to use it on one person's account. So I have Jimmy's on my phone because I'm too lazy to change it. I go to log in today. Guess who's his icon? Vander.
Yeah, and who did it? Who
did, I did that.
I was going to say, I needed to, yeah, I was actually going to bring that up before we finished. So I was like, someone changed the Vander and I'm loving it.
I thought Jimmy changed it to that. I was cracking up. I was like, man, he really loved this show, didn't he?
I've been watching the screeners too. I switched it originally to Jinx and then I was like, wait, I got to do Vander for Jimmy. And it was just the perfect shot of it. I was like, he's
going to love
this.
I would have been good with Jinx too, but.
Amazing.
All right, Kathleen, take us home.
All right, y'all. So these are one of the last episodes we're going to drop in 2022. I mean, we'll have some Alice in Borderland episodes, right? Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure besides that, coming up on Thursday, friend of the pod, Tyler, is coming back and we're going to record one of those episodes where we talk about what was our favorite episode drops or season drops in 2022. So it could be anything that had a release in 2022. Doesn't have to be a first season, can be anything. So listen to this, listen to that. Got Alice in Borderland dropping. When does Alice in Borderland actually drop? Is that out?
22nd, the Thursday the 22nd.
Okay, so yes, we're going to be dropping as many as we can because we have the screeners. We've been recording. So get pumped for that. In the new year, we have so much shit coming up. We've got Yellow Jacket, Shadow and Bone, Carnival Row, The Last of Us. What else are we doing?
Pitch Towns.
Potentially Invincible Season 2, maybe.
Oh, yeah, probably.
And it's just going to be such a fucking good year for TV, just like 2022 was. So let's get fucking hype. Catch up on anything you haven't listened to for us. We have so many good shows we've covered and we can't wait for next year. So if you don't come back because you're just here for Arcane, happy holidays. Just keep checking in on us. We're definitely going to cover a show you love. We are Bingetown TV. And thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.